Good day, this is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, January 5th, 2021. And we'll start with the front page of the commercial news. The first story today is titled, COVID-19 Surges into 2021. Viruses battle challenging and stressful and exhausting. And this story is by Max Jones. The coronavirus pandemic that swept the world in early 2020 found its way to East Central Illinois in March. Although the virus was here, the spread of COVID-19 in Vermilion County was slow to take hold. In the first 6 months of the pandemic, health officials recorded 123 active cases, 7 hospitalizations, and 5 COVID-19-related deaths. Those relatively low numbers would not last. In October, more than twice as many deaths, 11, occurred as had been recorded in the previous 6 months, with 185 additional active cases and 15 hospitalizations. It got worse in November, and by December 1st, there had been 40 deaths, 245 more active cases, and a total of 3,237 confirmed cases since March. In the wake of the Thanksgiving holiday period, December proved to be the worst month yet. As the year drew to a close, the death toll rose to 77, with 708 active cases and 41 residents hospitalized. The number of confirmed cases for 2020 reached 5,532. Douglas Toole, public health administrator for the Vermilion County Department of Health, said the county was fortunate early on. While surrounding counties were seeing more severe outbreaks, the number of local cases stayed low. Part of the reason for that, Toole said, was managers at long-term care and congregate living facilities made hard decisions that kept the virus at bay, at least for a while. There have been multiple outbreaks at those facilities the past 2 months, Toole said. It's not a shock to anyone that it's happening, he said. But we may have been going through this months earlier if not for all the efforts the staffs made in those facilities. Toole said much of his department's effort to combat the spread of COVID-19 has been contact tracing of infected individuals. The department obtained special funding and added 7 temporary staff members to perform contact tracing. Still, it's a relentless battle. This has been a tricky one, Toole said. A highly contagious airborne virus where the first symptoms may not show up for 5 to 7 days after exposure, if at all. It is impossible to trace backwards. That leaves contact tracers to focus their efforts on the time period after a person has symptoms of the virus. Asking people who they may have had contact with a week ago is often futile. Toole has high praise for his staff and the difficult work they are asked to do. It is challenging and stressful and exhausting, Toole said of the pandemic's impact on public health resources. Staff are being asked to do things they've never been done before, and they've adapted wonderfully to that. But it is a very trying time. Unfortunately, Toole said there is no sign of the crisis letting up. And there is fear that it will get worse. Since October, the curve has been very steep, he said. There's nothing to indicate it will stop suddenly. Hospitals and medical facilities are under strain, Toole said, but are currently meeting the demand. Meanwhile, he urges people to stay vigilant and do their part to help slow the COVID-19 spread in 2021. Wearing masks does help, Toole said, as does social distancing, hand washing, and staying away from other people if you're sick, even if you don't think it's COVID-19. He also hopes this pandemic changes the way people and employers think about employees coming to work when they're sick. It's a hassle to do without one person for a day or two when they're feeling under the weather, but it's worse to have 3 people out because they passed flu, norovirus, or cold, whatever it is, to additional people, Toole said. It would be nice that after this people were more serious about not sending kids to school sick or not going to work sick, and for schools and employers to make it easier for that to happen. The one piece of good news that now exists is that COVID-19 vaccines have arrived and are being administered to health and medical workers. But it's a very slow process. Toole expects the county will work its way through giving vaccinations to healthcare workers who want it in the next couple of months, and he's telling the general public that it may be March before the vaccine is more widely available. There are too many variables with vaccine shipments and eligible recipients to know when that's going to happen. I don't know when I'm getting it. I don't know how much there's going to be or how fast I'm going to go through it, Toole said. The health department will keep the public notified about vaccine availability, he said. Our next story is prison has seen a virus-related death. And this is by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. One Danville Correctional Center inmate has died due to the coronavirus disease amid the outbreak at the prison, according to Illinois Department of Corrections officials. The male inmate in his 40s died December 26, 2020. Numbers of COVID-19 cases at the prison hadn't yet been updated Monday afternoon since before the New Year's Day holiday. Those numbers, 728 COVID-19 cases among the 1,540 inmates, 610 of which are active, and 118 recovered. There have been 134 cases among staff members reported since March. Of those, 48 remain active cases and 86 have recovered. In a statement from the IDOC Public Information Officer Lindsay Hess, Danville Correctional Center implemented a medical quarantine plan beginning October 17, 2020. This plan was developed through consultation with the department's offices of health services and in accordance with recommendations from the Centers for Disease Control and the Illinois Department of Public Health. To mitigate the spread of COVID-19, the number of incarcerated individuals permitted out of their cell at one time has been reduced. However, men in custody at Danville are still provided the time to make phone calls to their loved ones, as well as engage in video visits. Other privileges typically accessed throughout the facility are delivered at the housing unit. The department developed a normalcy committee that meets regularly to review out-of-cell opportunities for all incarcerated men and women. All staff and men incarcerated at Danville are being tested approximately every 3 days until no new cases are identified for 14 days. At that time, the outbreak will be considered under control, and staff will undergo COVID-19 testing in accordance with the facility surveillance testing protocol. All incarcerated men and women who present COVID-19 symptoms or who are asymptomatic and have had a possible exposure continue to be tested, according to the IDOC. The department has consistently, pursuant to Illinois statute, reviewed its population for eligibility to be granted 180 days or less of sentencing credit or placement on electronic detention. Since the beginning of this unprecedented COVID-19 pandemic, the department has prioritized these eligibility reviews in an effort to increase the availability of space for quarantining or isolating the offender population in accordance with CDC guidelines and limit the number of men and women who may be exposed, but always with a view to ensure public safety. In addition, the department has granted furloughs to certain individuals housed at the adult transition centers, where offenders work in the community during the day but return to custody at night, and also has placed a few individuals on medical furlough. IDOC staff continue to persevere during these uncertain, challenging times. The department is providing ongoing education addressing the threat of COVID-19 and procedures for mitigating infection spread at work and in the community. Each facility has a designated safety officer who works to ensure all staff are wearing PPE appropriately and practicing social distancing. Background items. IDOC is utilizing FEMA's National Incident Command System model to set and achieve objectives each day. With the work of the IDOC's Population Management Task Force, IDOC's offender population has dropped 19% since March 1, 2020, including several from Danville. Hand sanitizer, antibacterial soap, and cleaning supplies are being made available to all staff and incarcerated individuals. The IDOC closely monitors the supply levels at each facility and is in communication with vendors to maintain adequate inventory. And our final item from the front page of the commercial news today is titled Alderman Appointment to Occur in Ward 7. And this story is by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. Following a two-week break from meetings with the holidays, the Danville City Council will have its first meeting of the new year on Tuesday, January 5th. Agenda items include appointing Darren York to the Ward 7 alderman seat vacated by former longtime alderman Steve Foster. Foster resigned from his seat last month. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. reported that he made his final decision on Monday and notified both candidates of his decision. York and another candidate, Kaylin Huber, have filed to run in the April 6th election for the Ward 7 seat. York, who previously worked for Aunt Martha's Health Center, is a senior rehabilitation counselor with the Illinois Department of Human Services Division of Rehabilitation. The City Council also is being asked to concur with the appointment of Foster returning to the Vermilion Regional Airport Authority Board, with a term to expire December 31, 2025. The council also is expected to have a COVID-19 update and discussion on the pandemic. In other business, the council will consider authorizing early loan payments on the 2002 Pierce Fire Truck Refurbishment and Cat Excavator Loan. The excavator was acquired for demolitions. Amending Chapter 118 of City Codes pertaining to taxation and funding from the city's home rule sales tax that has been going to the Storm and Sanitary Sewer Fund. Budget amendments including to adjust for the lack of once projected $2 million in casino revenue and additional payments, such as to the police and the fire pension, that are not occurring. Amending the Community Development Block Grant 2019 Annual Action Plan and CDBG Fund for the COVID-19 funds. The Council meets at 6 p.m. Tuesday, January 5th via teleconference through YouTube Live streaming service. The link can be found on the City's website at www.cityofdanville.org. Public comments can be submitted by 4:30 p.m. January 5th to City Clerk Lisa Monson at cityclerk@cityofdanville.org. The public comments will be read during the meeting. And now we're going to turn to the obituaries for Tuesday, January 5th. And the first today is for Donald Lazell. Donald Gene Lazell, 87, passed away peacefully on Wednesday, December 30th, 2020, at Community Care Center in Chicago, Illinois. No services are planned at this time. Gene Holy Cross. Oliver Gene Holy Cross went to be with the Lord on Friday, January 1st, 2021, at the age of 91, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. the family will have a private service to celebrate the life of Jean at Robison Chapel in Catlin. Burial will be in Lower Mound Cemetery near Covington, Indiana. Those wishing to remember Jean may send donations to the Autism Program, or TAP, at the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana. Helen S. Halloran. Helen S. Halloran of Danville, Illinois, and lifelong resident of Ellicottville and Great Valley, New York, died on New Year's Day, 2021. She was in her 91st year. Sadly, in the era of coronavirus pandemic, there will be no public services. Please take a moment to reflect on a life well lived and say a prayer for Helen's enduring legacy and share an antidote or memory. For those who would choose to make a tribute, please find www.warmhugsfromerin.org, founded this troubling year by Helen's 9-year-old great-granddaughter, Erin Cox. Funeral arrangements were entrusted to Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, Illinois. Edward George. Edward Ed George, 84, of rural Vetersburg, passed peacefully at his farm at 9:27 p.m. on Friday, January 1st, 2021, at home and surrounded by his family. Private family services will be at Shelby Funeral Home in Covington, Indiana, with Reverend Mason Shambach officiating, and will be held on Tuesday, January 5th, 2021, with burial in Mount Hope Cemetery. Memorial contributions in lieu of flowers can be made to Covington United Methodist Church, 419 Washington Street, Covington, Indiana, 47932, or to the Community Foundation at P.O. Box 175, Covington, Indiana, 47932. Pansy Laverne Foreman. Pansy Laverne Hawkins Foreman, 88, of Danville, passed away at 3:30 a.m. at Accolade Healthcare in Danville, Illinois. A private family celebration of life will be held on Thursday, January 7th, 2021, at 11 a.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Pastor Leston Hoskins will officiate. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. A visitation will be held from 10 to 11 a.m. on Thursday, January 7th, at the funeral home. Memorial donations may be made to Community Church of God in Danville, Illinois. Donald Blary. Donald W. Blary, Jr. was born in Danville, Illinois, to Donald Blary, Sr. and Elizabeth Jones Blary. Don passed peacefully at Franciscan Hospital after a brief but courageous battle with cancer. Cremation has taken place at Guinzen Carlisle Funeral Home. Memorial donations may be made to the Michiana Shores Volunteer Fire Department, Michiana Humane Society, or the charity of one's choice. Donald Carroll. Donald Carroll, age 89, passed away at 9:47 a.m. Friday, January 1st, 2021, in Wellbrook of Crawfordsville. He had been in failing health for the past year. Don's final wishes were to not endanger anyone's health and forego a public visitation. Private family services are planned at Family and Friends Funeral Home of Wingate, with public graveside services 3 p.m. Monday, January 4th, 2021, in Waynetown Masonic Cemetery. Attendees are to wear masks and please social distance. Memorial contributions may be directed to New Hope Chapel, Wingate. Gerald Smith. Gerald Jerry Smith, 89, of Danville, passed away peacefully on December 21, 2020, in Danville. A graveside service will be held at 10:30 a.m. on July 29, 2021, at Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, Illinois, has been entrusted with arrangements. Memorial donations in Jerry's name can be made to the Humane Society of Danville. Robert General Roop. Robert General Roop, 76, of Perrysville, went to his eternal home with his Lord January 3, 2021. Graveside services will be held at 1 p.m. Eastern, Friday, January 8, 2021, at Lower Mound Cemetery, north of Perrysville, Indiana. Officiating will be Pastor Sonia Adams. There will be no visitation. The family requests contributions to the Cayuga First Assembly of God, Back to the Street Ministry, or the Gideons. Diverter Funeral Home in Cayuga, Indiana is assisting the family with arrangements. Sherry Walsh. Sherry Stieg Walsh passed away January 2nd at home. The family will hold a private memorial at New Hope Christian Church. Arrangements were entrusted to Burkhart Funeral Home. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to New Hope Christian Church, 2746 South US 231, Crawfordsville, Indiana, 47933. Anna Hudson. Anna Hudson, 81, of Danville, passed away at 5:24 p.m. on December 31, 2020, at Pleasant Meadows Senior Living in Chrisman, Illinois. A private family service will be held at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville on Monday, January 4, 2021, at 2 o'clock p.m. Pastor Ken Cameron will officiate. Entombment will be in Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Memorial donations may be made to the Danville Alliance Church at 2509 North Bowman Avenue, Danville, Illinois, 61834. Mary Louise Augustson. Mary Louise Augustson, 64, of Danville, passed away on Thursday, December 31, 2020, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana after a battle with COVID-19. A memorial will be planned at a later date. Michael Moyer. Michael Mike Moyer, 40, of Danville, died Friday, January 1st, 2021, in Indianapolis. Memorial services will be at 6 p.m. Thursday at Calvary Baptist Church, 1632 Georgetown Road in Tilton. Watson Cremation Services in Danville is in charge of arrangements. Sandy L. Shaw. Sandy L. Shaw, 50, of Westville, died at 8:50 a.m. Saturday, January 2nd, at home. Funeral services will be at noon Friday at Grape Creek Baptist Church, 13658 Grape Creek Road in Danville. Pastor Dave Leary will officiate. Burial will be in Oak Hill Cemetery in Danville, and visitation will be from 10 a.m. to noon on Friday at the church. Rortvedt Funeral Services in Tilton is in charge of arrangements. Keith D. Young. Keith D. Young, 50, of Danville, died at 5:46 a.m. Sunday, December 27th, at home. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Thursday at Leek & Sons Funeral Home at 304 East William Street in Danville. Pastor Bobby R. Keyes, Sr. will officiate. Burial will be in Spring Hill Cemetery in Danville, and visitation will be at 10 a.m. Thursday at the funeral home. A public viewing will be from 1 to 5 p.m. Wednesday, also at the funeral home. And that's the end of the obituaries for Tuesday. We're going to return to the commercial news for a staff report story titled Master Gardeners to Host Hybrid Courses in 2021. Danville, are you searching for a unique gift for a friend who just retired? Would you rather be in your garden than anywhere else? The University of Illinois Extension Office will offer Master Gardener training classes in 2021 with a hybrid program that will accommodate COVID policies. Master Gardeners are volunteers who have a love of gardening and a passion to share it with others. The program focuses on learning for the love of learning. This stress-free approach, opportunity to meet fellow gardeners and share knowledge with the community, is exactly what makes the Master Gardener program so popular. Hybrid training will begin in February in this flipped classroom style training. Trainees have at least 4 hours of independent study to do prior to the weekly session. During Tuesday sessions, trainees participate in a live presentation presented by Extension educators. Then trainees discuss case studies and complete hands-on activities. Some classes may take place via Zoom depending on COVID. Classes start in mid-February and run through April. Field trips are planned to community gardens and local greenhouses. The hybrid class fee is $200 and limited to a select number of students. Options will be available for those with internet and technology limitations. Seats are reserved upon receipt of payment and registration forms, which include a background check. The class price is based on a commitment to volunteer 60 hours within 2 years. Partial financial assistance is available for need-based applicants. An extensive manual developed by University of Illinois educators for gardeners in Illinois is included in the class price. During the training, attendees learn about gardening from University of Illinois educators and other horticulture specialists in a way that is both interesting and practical to the home gardener. The classes are geared for all levels, from beginners to more experienced gardeners. Each session covers a different garden-related topic, such as fruits, plant diseases, insects, flowers, vegetables, trees, shrubs, etc. One of the most rewarding parts about being a master gardener comes from friendships made with fellow gardeners and making a difference in your community. Master gardeners volunteer at a variety of different community garden projects. They grow vegetables for the local food pantry, work with veterans and children. They hold a garden day workshop each March, garden programs each month, have a speakers bureau, and a plant sale in May. Clearly, no matter where your talents lie, there is something for everyone. For more information, contact Jenny Hanrahan at the Vermilion County Extension Office in Danville. And finally, from the community briefs section, in Tilton, driver services facilities are to reopen tomorrow. Illinois Secretary of State Jesse White is reminding the public that driver services facilities statewide are reopening tomorrow on Tuesday, January 5th. Face masks are required, and social distancing and other safety measures will remain in place. White is reminding the public that driver's licenses and ID card expiration dates have been extended until June 1st, 2021. As a result, people do not need to rush to visit a facility, especially during winter weather conditions. And that takes us to the end of our time for today, Tuesday, January 5th, 2021. My name's Greg. It's been a pleasure to read for you, and I hope you have a great week. Take care.